Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
You know what, Jan?
What?
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
I knew it. I just... Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking one of the first shows that we ever did has been a year at least.
Over, one of
the first shows we ever did, and I didn't realize that the intro and the music and all that stuff, you know, was going to be on there. And so I'm like diving right in. I remember thinking, oh, man, have I got a lot to learn.
Well, you've learned a lot, right?
I've learned a lot. Thank you very much, because you're a good teacher.
Thank you.
So here's the thing. We had, before the show, Brian and I always chat a little bit. And so we were talking about what we wanted to talk about this morning, and I said we could talk about podcasts, or we can talk about dogs. And we decided, or rather, I decided, that we should talk about dogs because we both have black labs. And I wanted, and Brian's had his, how old is Buddy Guy?
Well, he's probably about 6 or 7. We don't know. We've had him for a couple of years, 2-3 years now. And I'd have to look back, but we adopted him. And so we really don't know. They said he was either 2 or 3 when we adopted him. So.
Okay. You got him from a rescue?
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, his story is pretty incredible because he was 2 days away from being euthanized because he was down at the Chicago Pound, and somebody went on the roof and stole the copper from the air conditioner, and it was over 100 degrees in July. So these dogs were either going to suffocate and die, or they had to put them to sleep if they couldn't get them adopted. So one of my one of my dear friends who works with a rescue agency sent some people down there, and they took video of him playing ball. They sent a video to my wife, said, "What do you think of this big guy?" And her heart melted, and the next thing you know, he's on our doorstep.
That's
talk
so
about the power
cool.
of social media, right?
I know. Well, we have a dog. Her name is Luna. She's a black lab, and she's a rescue dog, too. And I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions because I've never had a black lab before.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a dog that can be so intense when she's, like, out in our backyard. And no matter what I do, if she's zeroed in on something, forget it because she won't pay any attention to me. Is that bred into them because they're hunting dogs, or what's the deal?
Well, part of that is hunting dogs, but also part of it's training too. You know, and I know you've worked
with. I knew that was coming.
Well, yeah, it's just you can train. I mean, I've been working with Buddy just because every time we're on a walk and he sees other dogs, you know, he wants to jump and go play with them. And so then he starts lunging, you know, and I'm trying to get it. So I'm really working with him and focusing him anytime there's a dog on the other side of the street, you know, to keep him focused on moving forward and not pay attention to the other dog. It takes time and training to get that done, but he's getting, all I could say is, you know, he's gotten so much better now that he does listen. Where I could tell him, you know, hey, no, and he would just keep jumping and barking. And, you know, so it just takes time, so you got to work with him. So hope that helps.
Okay, well, yeah, it does. We had I called Cesar, you know, the dog whisperer, but he was busy, and so he couldn't come over and help me out. So I did the next best thing, which was to find a local person, and they did come over. And one of the things this dog does, which is amazing, but it's dangerous for her, we have this, like, I think it's about a 4-foot fence around our backyard, and she jumps to look over the fence to see who is walking on the path behind our house. And this dog can jump like 5 feet. I swear, and it's amazing. But I'm sure at some point, if she keeps doing that, she's going to break her leg. So we work on that. But the other thing I wanted to ask you quickly was she has she's black and now she's turning brown in spots. I mean, like huge spots. And you and I talked about this before the show, and they call it rusting. And what it is nature's way of taking care of her when it's really hot and sunny outside. And so she's not black all over. She's got brown, which I guess isn't, you know, doesn't absorb as much as the black coat. It was really interesting. And I thought, did you know that about your black
coat? I did not know that. Well, speaking of... I don't want to say breaking a leg is probably not the right way to do it, but our guest Lynn is here. Want to introduce Lynn?
Yes.
Good morning, Lynn. Everybody.
Good morning, Lynn. Lynn and I have been friends for a long time, and we kind of lost touch for a while, and then we got back in touch, and Lynn has a great story. She's a financial planner. She is also an author. She writes, and she writes beautiful poetry, and she published a book, and we can talk about that. And then she's got some exciting things going just around her own growth, and I thought it would be really good for our listeners to hear her story. So, Miss Lynn Torrey, you're on, lady.
Oh, my, that's a...
There you go.
Well, I'll give you the brief synopsis. I've been in many, many different careers that are all around or in the world of personal finance. So I've been interested in money since I was in high school. And I joke about it because my first venture into being curious about money was asking my dad when I was a teenager how much money he made. And that question did not go over very well at the dinner table. Basically, I was told we'd never talk about money. And number one, to always follow the rules, I really want to talk about money. So being in the world of investments and planning for the last 18, 19 years, I was really seeing a lot of pushback specifically for women when it came to following my recommendations or advice about spending less, saving more. And I started examining that concept and looking at my own life and remembering that when I was divorced, as I call it, single again, I started meeting a lot of women that were looking for Prince Charming to save them. They had never had any experience in finances. They just really had no confidence in themselves when it came to money or even math, for that matter. And I looked at them, I went, oh my gosh, these are all Cinderellas waiting for someone to swoop them off their feet and save them. But then I started examining my own life and realized that I, too, had been Cinderella when I first got married. I was tired of being on my own, and I had given up my personal power. I had certainly given up my power around money. And over the 14 years I was married, I began to really face that fact and ended up getting divorced because of it. So I started to do little coaching mini workshops under the finance business, oh my gosh, 7-8 years ago now, and using the concept of fairy tale characters. And to my total surprise, women would immediately self-identify with characters that I would introduce to them. And I said, oh my goodness, I could never sit and say to a woman, are you playing the victim role? Are you afraid that you're no good at math? Or, you know, you really want to be saved? I could never do that, nor would I ever do that. But they immediately self-identified. So now I have a money coaching business that revolves around this whole concept of our money mindset, or what I call your financial personality, specifically as it relates to women and their limiting beliefs about themselves, which directly relate to their success or failure with money.
That's so interesting because you're right. I mean, I know... When my mom passed, my father had amassed, an estate, totally overwhelmed. I mean, she sat in on the meetings and all that, but, it just kind of went over her head, and she didn't pay that much attention because Daddy was always going to be there. And you see a lot of that, don't you?
I do see a lot of it.
I do see a lot of it.
Why do you think, you know, why do you think we teach, is it because women are supposed to be subservient or wait for Prince Charming? I mean, because we're not stupid. You know,
no, we're
not
stupid at all. Not at all. Well, I love to start just at the beginning that, you know, I don't know if you, I know, Jane, you've probably heard of The Secret or the movie or the book called The Secret. And the premise of that was that our thoughts create our reality. And so what I personally believe and have experienced from my own life is that the thoughts that I formed about myself, of course, were formed when I was a child. And it really goes back to our upbringing, not just our parents, but our teachers and anybody that we may come in contact with as a younger child to say, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, that has to be perfect. Do it again. Not to mention the nuns that educated me in grade school. So we grow up as women in particular feeling less than. My generation was raised to be teachers, nurses, or secretaries. We were raised to serve others, to take care of others, to nurture others, moms, wives. And so that's, to be honest, really all we were told we could be. We were never said, oh, gosh, Lynn, you can be a CEO when you grow up. You can have your own companies. Of course, I was never told that. So we just buy into these thoughts and beliefs that are formed when we're young from what we've been told about ourselves or expected of ourselves. So that's where it all starts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do you approach then this mindset that we have before you can even talk about, you know, what you really need to get to financial planning? How do you approach that?
You know, I really start with the basics. And since I have a degree in consumer education, this is also natural for me to do. But I start with introducing women to money. It's like, let's pretend you're going to meet money for the very first time. And I try to, well, my intention is to diffuse the fear, the intimidation that money holds, you know, within women. And I say, you know, let me just tell you a little bit about money. Money is really just a positive energy. And it's also a symbol of exchange. So it's a symbol of appreciation. And I start with the basics to try to help people look at money from a totally different perspective. And as you know, if we can change our perspective on anything, everything can change around that topic. Everything can change. So I really start with trying to change their perspective about money and take the money out of power and give them power back to the woman. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Brian?
I love it.
Yeah,
no,
I have
totally
a little...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I had a little, it's just a 3-hour total teleclass called The Money Affair. And I talk about, you know, first let's meet money and then let's have our first date with money. And let's take it to the next level. And then lastly, let's make a commitment of, you know, I do, so to speak, because I say all the time that we can never divorce money. We are with money truly till death do us part. So we better have a good relationship with it. So that's
so
the
it's
way
like
I
having kids, right?
Story. Pardon me?
It's like having kids.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, but it is. But we have to start, you know, because that's how you can change perspective. You have to start with the basics.
Yeah. So on the other side, then, you're also an author and you write. So tell us a little bit about, because that's a kind of a different career, but it's a parallel thing going on in your life.
It absolutely is a parallel. But I joke that I discovered that both sides of my brain work. My left brain, logical side with the planning side, and my right side, the creative side with the writing and now the coaching. And I do blend the two within my poetry. I have poems about money. I have poems about corporate America. I've had poems about self-improvement or believing in yourself. And it's the poetry, I was just writing poetry. I was sharing poetry when I would do speaking. I wasn't intending on publishing a book, but I love Tree Out Loud. I mean, it is me. My poetry is me.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a profound impact. Some of them are incredibly profound. Well, Jan, you have the book, my Good
right.
Enough poem. I can bring a room full of women to tears reading that poem, because it's about recognizing our value. So I do incorporate my poetry with my public speaking, but also with my coaching and my teaching, because it was my own journey. A lot of those poems in there, not everyone, but a lot of them are from my own personal journey, personal spiritual growth, and claiming my power back.
Because it's a very different approach. Don't you agree, Brian? It's a very different approach.
I love the concept. I mean, I love the, you know, basically it's realigning. You know, I agree 100% that, you know, we're taught money differently, you know, than reality. And the other thing, too, is you've inspired me. Now I want to write limericks about corporations.
Oh, what an easy target there.
There once was a dog from Aurora.
Nantucket. Just
I think limericks are hard to write.
They are a little harder. And you can never write a limerick with orange. I love the concept of just, you know, and it's not just women, it's men too. I mean, you know, I could definitely see the difference. See the difference. Especially, you know, with you know, like my parents' generation. It was very, very clear the man, you know, man was out making the money, the wife stayed home, and, you know, and that never really understood things, maybe was taught to, you know, pay bills, but never really got the major concept of it. So that's a very interesting perspective. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I have past tense, I might emphasize, I have coached couples in the past, and I will not do it anymore because of, just you said, it's different upbringing, different belief systems. But what I found when I was coaching couples, and in both cases, it was just one session each, and then I did with the couples together, I got them both to be vulnerable, to dig deeper into their belief system. And once they realized what they had done in front of the other spouse, it blew up on me.
Oh, dear.
It happened two times, and I don't need three strikes to know I'm out, you know? I don't do it in a couple setting anymore. I do not. It's too personal of a topic, and it's such a vulnerable topic.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For both genders. But I know how women think, so I know I can coach women.
How do we think?
How do we think? Well, I always say to men, you know, who say, I don't understand women. My response is, well, you know what? We don't understand those either, so don't worry about it.
That's very good, because I think, you know, I was talking to my sister yesterday, because yesterday was Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And I said something to my sister about my mother, and how complicated she was. And my sister said back to me, no, Mom was not complicated. She was very simple. You and I, Jan, are very complicated. And I thought, wow, you know, that's probably true, because my mother was a different generation. You know, she was born in 25 and just a very different generation. And I just think that women are expected to do everything. And so I think that's part of, and we accept that, like, you know, well, yeah, we're supposed to do all this, and it's not possible.
No, it's not possible. It's just not. But women are so emotionally driven, or men, and men,
yes,
you know,
yes.
This is generalization, but men are more logically driven, and, you know, they're the go out and kill the animals and bring it home for their family to feed on. And we're here to take care of everything else. And so it's two different mentalities. And my goal for women is to not diffuse, but be much more aware of their emotions around money and tap into their logical side, so they can recognize that, geez, I can, you know, add one and two together. That's all you need to do in basic finance. That's all you need to know how to do. Maybe subtract and divide, you know. But it's not that big of a deal. But yet, in our minds, it's become such a big deal.
So what kind of trends are you seeing with in financial planning, because we read all the time, at least I do, that, you know, baby boomers aren't saving enough. I don't know how what the percentage is of baby boomers that have no retirement at all saved. And I'm just wondering, you know, what are you seeing?
That is very accurate, what you said. The baby boomers have not saved enough. But to the point about baby boomers, which I know is a passion of yours, Jan.
Yeah.
Baby boomers, we started out as being quite rebellious, and we were free thinkers, and we wanted to change the world. And then reality set in when we all had to get corporate jobs.
Right.
And then raise families and put kids through college, which has
right.
let everyone dry. And now I think we're rekindling ourselves. So the fact that baby boomers haven't saved enough, I think that they have no intentions of retiring anytime soon. And if they lose their corporate job, so many of them are starting their own entrepreneurship jobs, you know, businesses.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think they're down and out yet. I'm a baby boomer myself. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a lot of stick-to-itiveness, and we think out of the box, and we're a very determined group. And,
yes.
You know, hopefully they're waking up again. Hopefully they're waking up again.
Yeah, Brian, are you finding with the people that you deal with that sense from baby boomers that, you know, we're not going to retire when we thought we were, or we're breaking that mold? What are you finding?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's and one of the things that I say, I give a lot of presentations on using social media to find jobs to people that
mm-hmm.
have lost their corporate jobs, and what I tell them is,
uh-huh.
You know, today's trend happens to be when you turn 40, they hand you a consultant's license.
Right.
Because it's so hard
True.
To stay on track. And the thing is that, you know, our parents, you know, were taught that you go to a corporation and you're there for life. And my dad retired with a gold watch and a pension. And, you know, so
mm-hmm.
we found out that,
right.
you know, this is all in a museum right now, you know, the pension
right.
and the lifetime
yeah.
deployment. And what happens is that, you know, the retirement money, we didn't, when we started out younger, nobody taught us that, you know, our kids' college was going to cost like $50,000 a piece. And,
right.
you know, and then some. And, you know, and we didn't realize that, you know, we would be paying, you know, I don't know what you guys pay, but, you know, $14,000 a year in taxes. I mean, it just.
Oh, I know.
You really didn't think about those things.
No.
And so what happens is a lot of people, you know, they went along thinking that everything was going to be hunky-dory, and now they're kind of, you know, in kind of challenges. And you got to. You know, you
right.
either get depressed or you get active.
Right.
The only
exactly.
two choices that you have. You know, am I right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But I
yes.
know the baby boomers have it in them. You know, we have it in us.
We do.
To
we
rebel
do.
And to step up.
I agree. I agree. And I think that people are doing that and trying to find, you know, their voice. And then taking back their power, and it's been very painful for a lot of people because, like you were saying, Brian, you know, we thought that we had a contract with a company, and
mm-hmm.
suddenly the rules were changed, and we didn't get the memo. None of us got the memo. And
right.
so, you know, and we completely have forgotten that when we entered the workforce, we kind of did the same thing to people, but they were in their 60s and maybe early 70s and were leaving anyway. And, you know, and we were the new kids on the block, didn't know anything. And now, you know, now the shoe's on the other foot. And it's very, very difficult for us because, like Lynn said, you know, we were rebellious. We were very rebellious and we were going to change the world. And we got sidetracked by reality, and now we have a chance to come back and make those changes and work with the other generations to make it happen. And I'm with you, Lynn. I think I know we can do it. We just have to change some thinking. And you know, you can visit Pity City, but you can't live there. And so, you know, I just, you know, don't you love that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so people just, you know, quit feeling sorry for yourself and, you know, put your big girl or big boy pants on and get with it. And so, Lynn, what is your next project? I know you're working on another project.
I am. I'm working on another book, but this time it's about money. And it's from the coaching perspective versus the investment and planning perspective.
Oh.
It's called Motivating Money Secrets, How to Wake Up Your Wisdom and Find Financial Freedom. And
oh, cool.
My intention is to have it finished by the end of the year.
Awesome.
Right. Very
yeah.
good. Well, how can people, we always want to ask our guests, how can people get a hold of you? And you know, what's your website and what's the best way to get a hold of you, I guess?
Well, I have two businesses, but I'll give you the coaching side. That website's www.lynntorre.com. That's L-Y-N-N-T as in Tom, O-R-R-E.com. And you can email me at lynn@lynntorre.com. Or my phone number, 630-858-8290.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank
Great.
You very much
well,
to both
listen,
of you for
thank,
this.
Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. It was good talking to you.
Thanks to both
Thanks,
of you.
Thanks,
Lynn. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, interesting, huh?
Yeah, no, it was great perspective, and I cracked up a little bit when she said that she went to, group coaching with a husband and wife. I just, it
oh, I
totally
know.
Makes sense.
I mean, I never would have thought about it.
No,
yeah.
I never would have, but, you know, I mean, there's three things that usually mess up marriages, and number one is
right.
The S word, we're not going to go there, the other one is kids, and the third one is money. And,
yeah.
you know, that's, so it's one of the top three agitators of relationships. So I could see where doing group coaching, you know, could have a complete different perspective on things. So.
Well, and the idea that you'd look bad, I never really thought of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be bad to walk away from a coaching session. But Lynn is just one of those really interesting people. Her perspective on business and on finances, I think, is so refreshing because it's more about, you know, how do you feel about money and getting to those emotions, which, especially for women, is critical.
Yeah.
So I know she's very successful. She's doing well. So what else do you have on your mind?
Well,
scary,
just,
scary question.
Yeah, it's a very scary question. No, I'm just looking forward to our upcoming guests. We got a lot of great guests. I mean, it's amazing now that the show's been on for over a year that we've got them lined up like planes at O'Hare. You know, it's just there's tons and tons of people that are starting to come on the show. So I'm really excited about
yeah.
that. Our great
yeah.
guests and, you know, just continuing to do this and my other podcast, baconpodcast.com. And I know, Jan, you're getting ready to start your podcast here soon. Boom. Right?
I am. As soon as I overcome my reluctance to talk into this microphone.
Yeah, you just
but I'm getting,
you just treat
you know,
it like a
I
phone.
Just,
that's all you got
to
do.
Yeah,
it's, you
I
know,
just,
it's,
I just have
it's
to,
a phone
yeah,
with a micro on it.
Yeah, that's all. It looks like a little spaceship on my table, and it's been sitting
right.
here looking at me, and so that's on my list definitely for
right.
This afternoon because it's one of those really crummy days here in beautiful affordable Chicago.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
well, here's my final take on everything. Okay, at first we were talking about dogs, and then we had
right.
you mentioned Caesar, the dog whisperer. Okay.
Right.
And then we started talking about money, and Lynn became the money whisperer for women. Now I am
right.
going to become your microphone whisperer and teach you not to whisper into the mic. How's that? Does that all make sense?
It's beautiful. It's brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah. Just
whisperer.
bring it
in
all
that.
Full circle. So, you know, that's the thing about this show is we end with a bang. So, anyways, Jan, we're
right.
Just about out of time. I wish you
okay.
a wonderful week and everybody else. See
you
us too. Next bat time, bat station, same place, all that kind of fun stuff. So
okay.
have a great week,
Thanks,
Jan.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, Thanks for tuning in.